Well, finally, the fourth week of Advent is here, and all the candles are lit on the Advent wreath. And the church, during this particular part of the season of Advent, moves our reflection to begin thinking more concretely about the meaning of that first Christmas. So let's look at today's scripture readings to try to understand what message the Lord wants to give us in our liturgy this evening. Our first reading is taken from the Old Testament, once again, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And what's happening here is the Jewish people are once again caught in a military situation that there seems to be no escape from. And the prophet Isaiah is trying to convince the king, his name is Ahaz, not to enter into military cooperation with the tribes around there, but to trust in God. And he says, you can ask God for anything, any sign at all, to prove what I'm saying to you. And the king, he's a hypocrite, you know, pretends to be pious and says, oh no, I won't ask God to give me a sign. That I'm not worthy of that. And so the prophet, being impatient, says to him, well then, even though you're not going to ask for a sign, I'm going to give you a prophecy. And this is what he says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. Now, many centuries later, the early church, looking at the Old Testament for some kind of prophecy or sign of what Jesus is about, discovered once again this passage, and you heard in that passage just from our gospel today, from the Gospel of St. Matthew, a quote from the prophet Isaiah, that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel. The church saw this as, in some sense, pointing to the later reality of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, scripture scholars will say that that's not what Isaiah meant. Isaiah was talking about something more immediate, that what he was saying is that God's going to raise up a son from you, King Ahaz, who's going to be a better king. And because of his rule, God's going to be once again with his people. And that was true. King Ahaz had a son, and he was a good king, and was more faithful in keeping faithful to the promises of the Jewish people to God. But the fuller meaning of that passage is fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ, as St. Matthew tells us, because a descendant of King Ahaz eventually was Joseph, the foster father of Jesus, whose engagement with the mystery of God is described in today's gospel reading. There are two gospel descriptions of Christmas. One of them is in the Gospel of St. Luke, which is a perspective of the events from Mary's side. But in the Gospel of St. Matthew, we have a painting of the picture of the birth of Christ from Joseph's perspective. So let's look at that gospel passage right away and see the basic theme of today's scripture readings. There's only 8 verses to this Christmas narrative. It's very, very brief. And most of it is dealing with the struggles of St. Joseph to understand the mystery of what was happening. St. Matthew begins by saying, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. And we would probably expect that to be then what would follow would be some kind of clear, joyful description. But what he presents to us is absolute confusion in the life of Joseph. You know, it's a very difficult situation that's described here. It says, when his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, you know, betrothal took place about a year before marriage, and it was the commitment of the man and woman to one another. It was like being married without actually being married. So at that particular moment, when Jesus's mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child. Now you can imagine what that experience was for St. Joseph, because he knew that he was not the father of this child that was about to be born. And there were all kinds of difficulties around this kind of circumstance. The reading goes on to say, Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. But he could have done something else. If you go to the Old Testament, to the book of Deuteronomy, and you look for the law around a circumstance like this, when a woman was pregnant outside of marriage, this is what the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy says should happen. I'll read the words to you. It's pretty shocking. It says, if evidence of a young woman's virginity is not found, they shall bring the young woman to the entrance of her father's house, and there the men of her town shall stone her to death. Can you imagine that kind of law? I mean, it's really something that's beyond our own imagination in today's world. But it was common in those days for women to be treated like this. So here's Mary, who is an unwed mother, pregnant, we know by the Holy Spirit, but Joseph didn't know that yet. And Joseph was supposed to make a decision about what to do. There were two options. One, he could take her to the court and this would have happened. Or he could, as it says here, decide to handle it more quietly. And he decided to do that. The scripture says, unwilling to expose her to shame, he decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The word Jesus means God saves. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah, which we heard at the first reading. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. It says, when Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took his wife to his home. So, Joseph, a good man, with plans to have a happy marriage, a beautiful wife, and lots of kids, all of a sudden had his life turned upside down. You know, things didn't go as he expected and as he had hoped. In fact, he was in a situation that was very embarrassing for himself and for Mary. And yet, into this very difficult situation, God sent a message from the angel Gabriel to tell him not to be afraid, that God would put things right because the child was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this tells us a number of things. You know, it tells us that we need to trust God, right? Even in the difficult circumstances of our life. And especially in circumstances around family issues. You know, for those of us who are Christians, unplanned pregnancy should be a moment of love, tenderness, and mercy. It shouldn't be a moment of anger and punishment and shame. It's very, very difficult. And no one wants to minimize the difficulties. But we learn from this experience of Joseph and Mary, it's very important for us in the church to be a welcoming church in circumstances like that. Of course, Mary's situation is absolutely unique because the child to be born of her was the gift of the Holy Spirit and wasn't conceived in the way that the rest of us are. But it's important for us to act like Joseph, who was a man who knew the law. He was a man of justice, but at the same time, he was a man of mercy. And it's because of his willingness to be merciful that God was able to continue the plan of giving us the gift of salvation, which was won for us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there are two different presentations of the story of Jesus' conception, as I mentioned. One is from the Gospel of St. Luke, which is the perspective of Mary. We heard that on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. I hope you went to church on that feast day. But today's passage from the Gospel of St. Matthew is a perspective from the side of St. Joseph. And so I think in this passage, those of us who are men, who are males, can discover a very, very special patron for ourselves in our responsibilities for family life. Those of you who are fathers or who are planning to be fathers. You know, we have to be men who are men of justice, you know, doing what's right. But it's also important for us to be men of mercy in our families, in our relationships with our wives and with our children. You know, the male of the home has to be a merciful male if he's going to represent the fatherhood of God, as St. Joseph does in the Holy Family. We also discover in St. Joseph, whether we're male or female, an important dimension of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, or to be a follower of God, someone who listens to God. As you saw, his life was turned upside down. But when he heard God's plan, which was given to him through the message of the angel, Joseph didn't spend a lot of time fighting what was going on. We're told that when he woke up from that dream where the angel spoke to him, he immediately took Mary into his home. You know, Joseph in the New Testament doesn't say anything at all. He's a man of no words, not just a man of few words, but he's always a man of action. You know, when God asks him to do something, he does it, and he does it quickly. And all of us, whether we're male or female, if we want to be faithful followers of Jesus and children of God, have to move from talking about things to actually doing things in our lives. You know, St. Joseph is a man who's very concrete in his response to the plan of God. And all of us are called to do the same in our lives. In today's scripture readings, Jesus is given two names. You know, one of the names is Jesus, which means, as I said earlier, God saves, because that's who Jesus is. He's the embodiment of salvation, which is a gift from God. But the other name that's given to Jesus in this gospel passage and in the earlier passage from Isaiah is the name Emmanuel, which is a Hebrew word which means God is with us. Now, the reason I want to spend a little bit of time focusing on that is because that name, in some ways, best embodies the nature of God in his relationship with his people. You know, God, at the heart of who he is, desires to be with us. You know, we have a God who's not satisfied with loving us from a distance. We have a God who decided to come close to us, even to the point of becoming one of us, to share our lives so that he could share his love with us. You know, so the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, embodies something from the very heart of God in his relationship with his people. You know, I often tell people that God is infatuated with them. And it's true, God is infatuated with us, not just as a group, but as individuals. He loves us so much that he became one of us to share our lives so that he could share his life with us. And, you know, when we hear this phrase, Emmanuel, God is with us, we should be excited about that. I mean, this is an extraordinary thing. There's no religion in the world that understands God's relationship with his people in that same kind of way, that God has a passionate love for us. And that's not something we should just get used to. We should be excited about it, as we should be excited about celebrating the Feast of Christmas, because what we're going to be celebrating isn't the fact that God became a baby, but that God became one of us, that he is with us. in the journey of our lives, in the sharing of our nature. You know, God is not with us only because he accompanies us, but he has become one of us, and with us brings humanity to God. We'll be celebrating that next Sunday as we celebrate the Feast of Christmas. So the weeks have passed. We've already celebrated 3 weeks. We have one more week to go. And the best way to prepare for Christmas is to prepare in a prayerful kind of way. You know, to be thoughtful, to be like St. Joseph, to listen to God. You know, to try to discern the will of God in our lives, to try to understand the mystery of God becoming man in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we'll be able to celebrate Christmas only to the extent that we prepare for Christmas. So it's so important that we find space and time in our lives, especially this next week, to prepare for the spiritual meaning of our celebration. So we ask the Lord to truly be with us this week so that we might celebrate the fact that God has loved us so permanently and so clearly and so totally in the incarnation of his Son, Jesus Christ.